Brother Dave is going to come now and share from God's Word. We're so thankful that this year David launched out into missions. Many of you know we're supporting him now as he prepares to head to the United Kingdom. So you come and preach. Not a long sermon because we just got a few more minutes before we pray. Say about 10 minutes. But he's going to preach the Word for us tonight. Amen.
Thank you. Would you please take the Word of God with me and turn to Psalm 57. Psalm 57. This evening I'm very thankful to be able to speak to you just for a few moments this evening. Tonight's a very special night for me. 8 years ago this evening, I got saved. And somebody brought me to this watch night service, and I sat in the back. I don't remember all that the preacher preached, but I just knew that God was speaking to me. And like Brother Avery preached my first sermon on this evening, we had a Bible quiz in the back, and all the teenagers got together at one table, and we were all a team. And we did terrible. Then we got 30% out of 100. And Pastor Barker said, the teenagers did terrible. And right before I got up to preach, he said, now David's going to come up to preach. And he was part of that group that did terrible. And then after the sermon, he said, good message, David. Now go home and read your Bible and study your Bible. And that was my first introduction. So I appreciate it. Psalm 57. We won't read the entire psalm, but I do want to draw your attention to one verse in Psalm 57, where the Bible says, my heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. If you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, would you please mark that phrase in verse 7 of Psalm 57, where David said, my heart is fixed. And just for a few moments, I want to ask you this question. Is your heart fixed on God? Is your heart fixed on God? As we go into the new year, are you going into the new year with a heart that is fixed on God? Here we find King David hiding from Saul in a cave. As David was running and hiding for his life, he came and he penned these words. Despite all that he was going through, despite his trials, and despite the tribulations that he was facing, he came to this realization that his heart was fixed. The word fixed here is a very interesting word in the Hebrew. The word is kun, which means to be securely placed, to be securely fastened. And by God's help, as we go into this new year, may we go into this new year with a heart that is securely placed and securely fastened in the Lord. I want to give you a few reasons why we must fix our hearts upon God. The first reason why we must fix our hearts upon God is because He is worth our trust in all things. God is worth our trust in all things. Look with me in verse number 1 of Psalm 57. David said, be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge. And he realized that despite the circumstances, despite his trials, that he was going to trust God. Charles Haddon Spurgeon said it well when he said, he that counts the stars in the sky and knows each of them by their name is in no danger of forgetting his own children. He knows your case as thoroughly as though you are the only creature that he has ever created. Or he knows your case as thoroughly as though you are the only child that he has ever loved. You can trust God. Amen. You can trust God in the storms of life, in the trials and in the tribulations. Even as David was running for his life in a cave. And he said, my soul trusteth in thee. First, we see that if we are going to fix our hearts upon God, we must trust in Him in all things. But not only do we trust in God in all things, we realize that it is God that performs all things for us. Look with me in verse number 2. I will cry unto God Most High, unto God that performeth all things for me. We serve a performing God, where the Bible tells us that He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. God is able to do more than we ask. And the Bible says that He can even do more than we think our God is able. I take notice that as we read through the Old Testament, many times as God's people were at the forefront of battles, oftentimes you see how God tells his people, ye have no need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. As we see a God that performs and that fights for us. God is not on the balcony of heaven wringing his hands, wondering what's happening. He knows your case. The Bible tells us that he is acquainted with all our ways, with our uprising and our downsittings. The Bible says that he understandeth our thoughts from afar off. And he is the God that performs all things for us. In verse 2, we see that he performs all things for us. But not only does he perform all things for us, the Bible teaches in verse 3 that God is the one who gives all provisions for us. He shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up, Selah. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. He said that God shall send. I'm glad that it was mentioned earlier that even as we seek God's will, we should seek it every day. And as we looked into the Lord's prayer, he said, give us today our daily bread. And seeking the provisions of God day by day, even as we see in the psalm, David understood that God is the one who provides for him. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord, our provider. And even as we go into this new year, we can take great comfort that we serve a God that is able to provide and to meet every need that we have. As we fix our hearts upon God, we realize that we must trust him in all things. We see that we must realize that he is the one who performs all things for us. And that he gives us all the provisions. And notice that when David was in the cave, when he was in the midst of a hot battle, his main priority, his main concern was not that God would relieve him from the trials or from the tests. But David's main priority was to make sure that even in the battle, that God would be glorified. Notice with me in verse 5, be thou exalted, O God. Notice with me in verse 11, be thou exalted, O God. When was the last time you were in a trial and your prayer was that God would be exalted? That God would be glorified. Jesus said, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will of the Father, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified. It is God's will to be glorified in every circumstance, in the trials and in the pains and in the difficulties of life. As was mentioned earlier, God does move in a mysterious way. His wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. He also said, judge not the Lord by feeble sense, but trust him for his grace. Behind a frowning providence, he hides a smiling face. As we go into this new year, may we go into this new year with a heart that is fixed on God, that is securely placed, that is securely fastened, despite the circumstances, despite the difficulties, despite the trials, because they are normal in the Christian life. That's why Peter said, beloved, count it not strange concerning the fiery trials, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. It is normal in our lives to go through times of testing, to go through times of trials. But it is this one thing. Are our hearts fixed on God? Is your heart fixed on God this evening? Transitioning into the new year? Or is your heart fixed on your circumstances? Is your heart fixed on your trials? One of the greatest devices that Satan uses on God's people is the device of fear. The Bible teaches that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And when God's people are fearful because of their circumstances, they are of no good use to the king. That's why in Psalm 112, the Bible says he shall not be afraid of evil tidings. Why? His heart is fixed on God. When our hearts are fixed on God, we are not fearful. When our hearts are fixed on God, we are not anxious and we are not worried. It is not God's will for us to live worried, anxious lives, but to live a life in which our heart is fixed. Is your heart fixed on God? So we see we must fix our hearts upon God because he is worth our trust in all things. As David said, my soul trusteth in thee. And that he performs all things for us, we see in verse 2. Verse 3, we see that he makes all provisions for us. And lastly, we must fix our hearts upon God simply because he is God. Notice how David references God in the psalm. Notice in the psalm with me, be merciful unto me, O God. Verse 2, I will cry unto God Most High. Verse 5, be thou exalted, O God. Verse 11, be thou exalted, O God. We serve an amazing God where the Bible tells us that he looked down from the heights of heaven to behold men. And the Bible teaches that when God looked down, that we were all sinners. We've all broken God's law. We've all done what God has told us not to do. And by the way, if God would have sent us to hell, he would have been good and just for it. But the Bible says, but God commended his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And we can fix our hearts upon God because we serve a wonderful Savior, a man who came down and died on the cross for our sins so that we can have everlasting life. Have you fixed your heart upon the Savior? Have you called upon him for salvation? 8 years ago this night, I sat in the back and heard the pastor preach. And that night, my heart was fixed upon the Savior, upon his love, and my life was changed forever. For the unbeliever, if you're here today and you have never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, may tonight be the wonderful night of your salvation. And for God's people, as we transition into a brand new year, we have no idea what this year holds, but we know who holds it. And we can fix our eyes upon our wonderful Savior. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that we can fix our eyes upon you. And Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. I pray, Father, that you would guide us and that you would use us even in this next year for your honor and for your glory. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Amen. Let's keep our heads bowed and our eyes closed. We're going to close our service with a time of prayer. We always like to do that as we ring the new year in on our knees. But before we do so, I thought I'd just ask a few questions by way of invitation. Perhaps the Holy Spirit's working on someone's hearts tonight. You know, many messages have been given, but the central theme through it all is the fact that we need the Lord. First and foremost, we need the Lord for salvation. I wonder how many tonight would say, Pastor, I know for sure that I've been saved. I know for sure that I'm trusting Christ as my Savior. I can look back at the day that I was born again, that I was saved. I have that as my testimony. If that's you tonight, you can honestly say that. Can you raise your hand? All heads are bowed and eyes are closed, no one looking around. Well, praise the Lord. Many hands are up. You can put your hands down. Maybe tonight you couldn't really raise your hand if you're being honest. Maybe tonight the Holy Spirit's working in your heart because you know you've never truly been saved. You've never trusted in Christ alone as your Savior. If you were to die right now, you would die in your sin. You'd split hell wide open, as some say. If you were to die right now, maybe on the way home there a car accident or some tragedy would happen. You leave this world. You're not sure if you'd go to heaven. Maybe tonight the Holy Spirit's convicting you. Can I tell you tonight that there is a solution, there's an answer? As Brother David just shared, Jesus, he died for you. He loves you. He's waiting for you to call on him in faith. Trust in him alone. He'll save you. He'll forgive your sins. He'll prepare a place for you in heaven. He has eternal destiny prepared for you if you just turn to him. I wonder if there's anyone tonight that would say, Pastor, I'm not sure if I'm saved. I want to get this settled.
Just like David 8 years ago, I realized that I need to be saved. Would you please pray for me? If that's you tonight, would you slip your hand up and I'll pray for you? I'm not going to embarrass you or call you out, but I do want to pray for you and acknowledge you tonight. So, Pastor, I'm not sure if I'm saved. I'm not sure if I go to heaven or hell. Would you please pray for me? I wonder how many of God's people would say, Pastor, pray for me that I continue trusting the Lord in this new year, following His will, seeing Him for who He is, and that I exercise biblical faith for His promises for me. Would you raise your hand if God's spoken to you tonight? Amen. Amen. As the pianist begins to play softly, I want to ask that you would just pray. Maybe you want to come to this altar and pray. Maybe there's some dedication that you want to make to yourself, to your family. Maybe some of you dads here tonight, you want to bring your family and say, hey, let's pray and dedicate our year to the Lord. Maybe tonight you're here by yourself. Maybe some of you might want to look around and pray with someone. Find someone to pray with. I don't want anyone praying alone tonight. Find someone to pray with and say, by God's grace, we're going to serve the Lord in this new year. Maybe there's sin that needs to be confessed. Whatever it is, but let's pray about it. And let's unite together in one accord. Seek God's favor. Let's find someone. Find someone to pray with. Encourage them and pray together tonight. Our Heavenly Father, we just want to thank You for Your goodness to us, Your grace that we don't deserve. Lord, You are so merciful, Lord. Help us to, as we were challenged tonight, never doubt You. Help us, Lord, with humble hearts to continually serve You. Help us, Lord, to see You for who You are as the King of the universe on Your throne, the sovereign God that You are. Lord, help us to trust You because You're dependable, You're worthy. Lord, help us to find Your will, Lord, that we would this year, in 2020, Lord, that we would accomplish Your perfect will. And Lord, certainly that's Your desire. May that be our desire too. Lord, we pray that as a church, that You would launch our ministry into our greatest year yet. Lord, that You would help us to make disciples as You've commissioned us to do, that we would evangelize the lost, teach them Your truth, that they may follow You and lead others to You. Lord, we pray for this next generation. We ask, Lord, as the days move on, as soon it'll be their time to step up, Lord, would they develop a fire in their heart for You? Lord, may they get a distaste for the things of this world and instead have a passion and a love and a joy, a delight for You. Lord, for the things of eternity, things that matter. Lord, would You guide each parent and family tonight? Enable them this year to be the best parents and families they can be for Christ, loving their children, admonishing them, encouraging them in the Lord. Lord, I pray that You would bless each marriage, each family, Lord, that You would just bless each relationship, that we would honor You in all we do, Lord. And bless each member of our church. Thank You so much for each one, their faithfulness. Lord, may we be more faithful in this new year. May we be filled with Your Spirit, filled with Your love, and filled with Your goodness. And we just thank You and praise You in Jesus' name. Amen.